Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. We're so glad that you could join us here for the Electrification. We're working on that as the new name. Sensible Heating and Cooling Podcast. Phil Jensen, Corey Lopez. I haven't had a chance to look through any comments that folks have had, so I've kind of gotten away from that, and I apologize. If you have comments, we'd love to have you comment. You can comment. Certainly go to the website, sensibleheat.net. Really, though, we hope that we're answering a lot of those questions already here on the podcast. Anything that we talk about is also you can find on our blogs. A lot of really great information there. And if it's not in the blogs, we have links to get you to where you need to go outside of that for information. We wanted to talk today on today's podcast, and we kind of teased it a little bit before Thanksgiving in our podcast in November about things are changing in 2023 when it comes to regulations coming out from the EPA, when it comes to efficiency and things like that. So let's talk about that first of all. EPA tries to stay on top of that. I mean, and just overall, you want your systems to be more efficient, and they are pushing manufacturers to do that.
Yep, exactly. And so the new regulations that are coming out in 2023, they actually have been out for a long time. 2015 is when they started to legislate this, and the manufacturers have been aware of it for a very long time now. And so 2023 is another inflection point where efficiency ratings on heat pumps and air conditioners have to come up. And so we've been operating under a system called SEER ratings. SEER is an acronym for Seasonal Energy Efficiency Rating. And so those were tested under laboratory conditions and with a certain minimal amount of airflow that had, you know, there's something called static pressure, and I'm going to try and not get too technical about this, but in the real world, the laboratory conditions did not exist. So now they've come up with what they call SEER2 ratings, which are an elevated rating system based on more real-world conditions. And so I recently went to a convention for Bryant. It was their first national convention for dealers since 2006. And they talked an awful lot about these increased efficiency ratings. And so not only are they causing the manufacturers to step up to a SEER2 efficiency rating with stricter testing guidelines, but the ratings themselves, the minimum ratings, have to go up. And so those SEER2, those pieces of equipment that are rated for SEER2 are being rolled out starting January 1st, 2023. And I think actually they've rolled out a little bit ahead of time in some cases. But once the original SEER rating equipment is gone, then everything has to comply with that SEER2 rating. So what that means really is that it's going to make everybody have to be doing things more efficiently.
When it comes to regulations changing and things like that, first thing that I start to think of is what gets grandfathered in and how much time do you have to upgrade systems? And I guess as customers, you have what you have.
Right.
But for HVAC, you know, people within the industry, this is very important. You've got to pay attention to it here, and things change a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's a big deal. I mean, it's something that's been coming down the road for a while. We just started hearing about it, you know, earlier in 2022. The manufacturers started to make us aware of it, and it was a big topic of conversation at this convention I went to. And the manufacturer, this manufacturer, has done an excellent job of really pushing the envelope, getting ahead of the curve, making sure that the equipment is available. In the southern half of the United States, they will not even be able to install less efficient equipment starting on January 1st. In this part of the country, in the northern part of the country, we can use up the older equipment, but now the newer equipment will be rolled out over the course of the year, so that by the end of the year, we anticipate everything will be the higher rated equipment.
It's all good news for the customer, though, right?
Well, they're going to pay higher prices for the SEER 2 equipment. So, you know, if there's any urgency level or any thought about getting it done but not wanting to pay the higher prices for the more efficient equipment, now would be a good time to think about that.
You got to go to the convention. We're talking about Bryant, and Sensible is a Bryant dealer.
Correct.
Carrier dealer. Talk a little bit about Bryant. Why Bryant?
So Bryant and Carrier are two different brand names. We're actually a Bryant dealer, not a Carrier dealer. But it's all the same equipment. It's kind of like, you know, how Chevrolet and GMC label two different things. But
that's a great example. Yeah.
But the reason that Bryant has been such a good partner is because they, well, for one thing, they've got the highest rated piece of equipment. It's actually rated up to 25 SEER, which is just crazy, considering that just a few years ago, the highest thing we could get was 13 SEER. And so what that means is we're using about half the electricity than we did with that equipment. And nobody else in the market that I'm aware of can, for a central heat pump, can reach that efficiency level. Mini splits do have some equipment now that's rated up to, I think, 30 SEER. But that higher number means that it's a lot less electricity to use. And for a central system, that's outstanding. It's, you know, it's something that is actually approaching geothermal in terms of efficiency level. Mm. So we've decided that we want to partner with them. They've supported us, you know, quite a bit. We also have other manufacturers that we support as well, but you know, that's for cases where we can't have a good match with a particular application. So we the other advances that have been made, I think, in the industry in general has been that the training has gotten a lot better. The technology on some of the Bryant equipment I was really interested in. For example, technicians now will be able to use their cell phones to communicate with furnaces and heat pumps.
Wow.
And so the technician can walk up on the newer pieces of equipment and be able to go to an application that will communicate with the furnace and help the technician do the troubleshooting. So, you know, those are the kinds of advances that are happening and are becoming very real. And you mentioned earlier today that, you know, now, you know, the technicians have to be, you know, pretty darn technical and you know, very comfortable in the world of computers and technology, and because that's really the way that, you know, the industry is going.
You have to train the people that work with Sensible all the time. You guys are always getting training.
Well, and that's what we look for, is we look for technicians that are curious, that want to learn, that want to continue to grow in their career. You know, we will take people that have some pretty fundamental skills in sheet metal or piping or, you know, things like that. But then what we really like to do is we like to send them to school and train them and do a lot of on-the-job training and work with other technicians that have been through that. And there's a lot of factory-authorized courses that, you know, help them grow in their career and just get better and better at what they do.
When it comes to employment, for people, we talk about it from time to time here. Culture is very important, and I know that we talk a lot about that. If you go to sensibleheat.net, you go to our blogs, you can see the biographical information of the people that work here, but you can also go read on some of the blogs. You can just learn about some of the people and the culture that is Sensible Heating and Cooling.
Yeah, we, you know, we're a lifestyle company. We, you know, not only do we want to encourage people to do what's right for the environment, but also, you know, family is a very important part of this company culture as well. So we try to make sure that people have their weekends with their families. We do have technicians that have to be on call for our customers, but, you know, they're on call once every, you know, 10 or 12 weeks, and they rotate with the other technicians. But for the most part, you know, we really believe in people having, you know, personal time to be able to enjoy their lives. And, you know, as a company, we like you know, we want to have fun and, you know, and of course it's work, but, you know, we also, you know, think that, you know, we can have fun doing it and learning. And one of the cool things that I got to do it at the convention was I got to put on virtual reality goggles and learn how to troubleshoot an air conditioner.
Wow.
And that was just a crazy cool experience for an old guy like me. So it got me dizzy, though. I almost fell down a couple of times.
Yeah, be careful with that. Us old guys can't deal with that. You know, your grandkids put the VR headsets on, and they're wandering around the room, and they're doing all kinds of stuff, and you have to watch out for them because they're moving around. They don't have any problems with it.
You know, they have no clue where they are, but they don't care.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I want to talk more about the VR work there. That you're going to get more of that in training, I would imagine. That's very cool that Bryant was able to do something like that.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised by that, but I guess I shouldn't have been. But the way it worked was that you put on the goggles and you're actually standing in front of an air conditioner, and then you've got a little step-by-step procedure that you can walk through. And eventually it led me to the problem of that the wires were burnt at the disconnect. And, you know, it was a fairly simple troubleshooting procedure for an experienced technician, but for somebody brand new, they don't know how to use a meter, and they don't know how to use a, open up a panel on an air conditioner and things like that. So it walks you through the basics, and it's a much less intimidating way to learn how to do those things than, you know, trying to do it at somebody's house for the first time and never having done it before. So I was very pleased to see that they're really staying with the technology and encouraging young people to use things that they're already used to using. I mean, that, like you mentioned, you know, my grandkids, your kids are doing this kind of stuff all the time. By the time they get to the working age, then training like that will just be second nature to them.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll have a little room at some point, somewhere at the warehouse. You just have a little room, and you'll have the VR headset right there, and you'll just, a new employee will come in. Geez, they'll probably be filling out forms on that thing, too. You'll go, welcome. Go in here. And you'll already have a program already set up, and you'll be able to just train them. Put them in there for a few hours. We're not to the point where you could just download into your brain now.
Right,
we're not.
Yeah.
We're getting close.
Yeah,
well, but for now, the VR would work.
Well, Elon hasn't quite come up with that chip yet, I think. So.
So the convention in Vegas, first time since 2006 that Bryant has put this together for all of you guys to get together, and that's a long time.
Yeah,
so that's 16 years in between. Everybody thinks about, "Woo, we're going to Vegas," got a big convention and this whole thing. But really, you do learn, obviously quite a bit. I'm surprised that it was that long. They probably were trying to get it together sooner, and then we had COVID hit and all of that stuff. But I would imagine you get to trade some real interesting stories with people too.
Yeah, I was surprised there was 4,000 dealers there.
Whew.
And it was a huge deal. And getting all those people together in one place and keeping us all educated and entertained and informed and fed, that was a big deal for a lot of people to put that together. And that was just the Bryant convention. The carrier convention was probably another 4,000 or 5,000 dealers.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that we like about the manufacturers, that they have a very strong dealer network, and we learn a ton from each other. So I talk to people from Florida, talk to people from Minnesota, I talk to people from all over the place, and everybody's got a little bit different take on how things work for their businesses. But it's a great tool for me to learn and, you know, keep growing and understand how to run my business, as well as I can.
Where in Vegas were you?
We were at the Venetian.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it was a nice venue, and one of the people there tried to teach me how to play craps, and I did terrible, so I went to bed.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know too.
That. It looks like fun.
Well, they have a machine now that does it all for you. It's got a plastic bubble with big dice in the middle of it, And then one person takes control of it. And, I learned a lot about, you know, my business, but I also learned that I'm not a good gambler either. So
That's not always bad. Yeah. Save yourself a little bit of money. Down the road, if you go south, there's a Topgolf down there.
Right.
I mean, they've got everything in Vegas.
Yeah, well, I also have a grandson who already is better than me, so.
Well, that's why I was saying you could go play a little, try to keep up with him a little.
Yeah,
Topgolf.
I don't think that's going to happen.
What else was going on at the Bryant Convention? And again, we talked about culture, Sensible Heating and Cooling. Read about the culture that we have. If you're interested in electrification, we will always throw that out there. SensibleHeat.net is the place to go. You can call us 720-876-7166. You like the podcast, make sure you subscribe so you know when we have a podcast. We're doing this once a month for now. May increase it. There's so many questions that I could ask about all kinds of things. Let's talk about what's changing in 2023. We talked about EPA regulations, the SEER ratings, and all of that. Talked a little bit about the convention, some of the things that are changing, the technology and things like that. When it comes to prices and things, hey, I used to sell cars, man. The new year was coming. We knew prices were going up because we were getting the new models out. Is that similar here when it comes to HVAC?
It is, but I think probably the biggest and most exciting change is the fact that there's so much tax credit and rebate money available. And
you're a glass half full guy, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because that's a great answer, because you're right. There's a lot of that stuff out there.
Yeah, it's crazy because now the federal tax credits will pay up to 30% on geothermal. Last year it was capped at 26%, but that was retroactive into 2022, so the Inflation Reduction Act is going to pay up to 30% on geothermal. There's also now credits for air source heat pumps that didn't exist before, so that's a big deal. And then also the state of Colorado will contribute up to 10%. So, you know, a geothermal installation can be paid for up to 40% through tax credits, and so that's going to make it a lot more competitive with some of the higher end air source heat pumps. And then if somebody isn't a good candidate for geothermal, there's a lot of money available for air source heat pumps as well. And so it's something that's worth people to research and do a little bit of information gathering about. But between that and solar systems, I think there's going to be a huge shift towards more and more electrification and less and less gas all the time.
SensibleHeat.net is the place to find out everything that we're talking about here. You can go to the blogs. You can always look up, go through the website and find information there as well. I keep throwing back to the blogs because when we talk about this stuff, this is also in writing there, and there are links to other places that you can help. Before we go, we started this on the last podcast. I think it's important to get it out to people. If you are trying to choose an HVAC company that you want to work with, don't just go with the first person you find, right?
Right. Yeah, we encourage people to get two or three estimates. And what we like is we like people that are, we work best with customers that are very informed about what it is that they want to do. And we're happy to answer questions, and we're happy to let people understand where the budget ranges are. And, those are the kinds of things that every contractor is not going to be as knowledgeable or open about, but they also have other pieces of information that can be important. And so it's just very good to get some different perspectives from different people. Not everybody's going to be a good fit for us. And, so that's true of customers. They may want to work with other companies, but that's fine too, as long as everybody's really going into the transaction understanding what they're looking at. Then I think things go much better.
Electrification, it's a buzzword, but Sensibles had been doing it for a while.
Yep. It's a direction that we recognized a while back. You know, I was driving around looking at people's solar systems on their houses, and I thought, well, why aren't we putting in more heat pumps? And so we started pushing towards that more and more, you know, probably 5-6 years ago. And, you know, it was just a real natural extension of what we were doing with geothermal. So we've become pretty darn good at it.
Absolutely. Find out more at sensibleheat.net. You can call 720-876-7166. Ask questions there. A lot of the questions could be answered on our website. Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
Merry Christmas to everybody out there. We'll see you and talk to you in the new year. This has been the Sensible Heating and Cooling Podcast, Electrification.